Welcome to the inaugural All Things Protest podcast presented by Kroll & Mooring. I'm Olivia Lynch, and with me today are my co-hosts, Rob Sneckenberg and Christian Curran. Bid protests have been all over the news lately. From summaries of last year's interesting decisions to changes in the law for 2018 to further changes on the horizon as Congress continues to push protest reform. Given this increased attention, we're launching this podcast to keep you up to date on major trends in bid protest litigation, key developments in high-profile cases, and best practices in federal procurement. For example, in future podcasts, we will be covering such topics as key GAO, Court of Federal Claims, and Federal Circuit decisions, how to manage personnel turnover and consequent bid protest risk, the keys to understanding how mergers and acquisitions and other corporate restructurings affect your proposals, as well as how to break into new markets and challenge your competitors' sole source awards. We will also be providing on our website the decisions, reports, and other content discussed on this podcast. Before diving into these heavier issues, though, we're going to kick things off with a roundup of recent reports on bid protests and a look at current and future legislative changes. Rob, take us away.
Thanks, Olivia. GAO recently released its FY2017 bid protest statistics. The report covers all protests filed with GAO between October 1, 2016 and September 30, 2017. Notably, while the overall number of protests and percentage of sustained protests were both down in 2017, the all-important effectiveness rate reached 47%, the highest rate this century, if not all time. This means, in nearly half of all protests filed, the protester received some form of relief, be it a sustained protest or corrective action. This high effectiveness rate goes hand in hand with the results of another report recently released by the RAND Corp. Pursuant to a provision in the 2017 NDAA, RAND conducted a, quote, comprehensive study on the prevalence and impact of bid protests on DoD acquisitions. The study was spurred by Congress's ever-increasing criticisms of the DoD protest process. But the ultimate findings mirrored those in the GAO annual report and disproved the anecdotal concerns. For example, rather than concluding that the protest process should be abolished or curtailed, RAND instead found that first, bid protests are exceedingly uncommon for DoD procurements. Second, GAO's 100-day deadline should stay, as GAO already resolves 70% of protests within 60 days and often needs the full 100 days for complex protests and numerous end-of-fiscal-year protests. Third, task order protests are important and in fact have a higher effectiveness rate, demonstrating that such procurements may be more problematic and prone to error. Fourth, a majority of protests are brought by small businesses, and Congress should consider approaches to reduce and improve such protests, perhaps by providing additional legal resources for small business protesters. Fifth, debriefings matter. In fact, evasive or adversarial debriefings may lead to a bid protest in most cases. Finally, RAND also recommended improving DoD record-keeping to support future studies. It will be important to watch whether Congress requests such future studies and whether the RAND report impacts future proposals to revise the bid protest process. Speaking of proposals to revise bid protests, here's Christian to talk about recent changes to the protest process in the 2018 NDAA and potential changes on the horizon.
Thanks, Rob. It will definitely be interesting to see how these recommendations from the RAND report are implemented. I know that, you know, in my case, I've definitely heard a lot of feedback about debriefings and the adversarial nature of them and how that's kind of gotten worse lately. So we'll see if agencies listen on that front for sure. On to the 2018 NDAA, which took a kind of different approach. The Senate continued its years-long assault on bid protests with this most recent legislation. In a lead-up to the NDAA, the Senate Armed Services Committee proposed a number of measures to reduce bid protests. Most notably, the Senate proposal would have first made losing protesters pay GAO's and the agency's cost of handling the protest, and second, withheld payments to incumbents who received bridge contracts while they protested follow-on awards. These are major changes, and fortunately, reason prevailed in the final version of the NDAA. The provisions to withhold costs were withdrawn, and instead Congress settled on a pilot program beginning in October 2019 for losing protesters to pay some agency costs in very limited circumstances. In light of the RAND report, we're going to keep a close eye on whether this pilot program even gets off the ground because, as Rob mentioned, the conclusions in the RAND report somewhat differ from what Congress had thought was a real issue. So there's potential here that this might not even get started. One last report that may impact the ultimate pilot program considered in the NDAA or future bid protest changes more broadly is the Section 809 panel report. So for those of you not familiar with it, as part of the 2016 NDAA, Congress established an independent advisory panel on streamlining and codifying acquisition regulations. This is what's known as the Section 809 panel, and it's tasked with reviewing and ultimately making recommendations to streamline DoD acquisitions. Relevant to bid protests in particular, a subset of the 809 panel is currently soliciting ideas on potential bid protest reforms. Now, the ideas they've heard so far really run the gamut from leaving everything as it is to reducing or changing the fora where you can file a protest or even abolishing protests altogether. Kind of a wide spectrum of ideas there. So at this point, it's pretty clear that everything is on the table. The Section 809 panel holds regular meetings that are open to the public and has specifically invited feedback on potential bid protest reforms. So if your company does business with the Department of Defense, you'll want to consider contacting the 809 panel or otherwise voicing support on your own or through a trade organization for the continued importance of bid protests. You'll also want to carefully review the Section 809 panel's most recent report that's released just this week. We'll be closely monitoring this most recent report and any Section 809 developments and proposed changes to the bid protest process, and we will be sure to update you, our listeners, on significant developments in future podcasts.
Thanks, Christian. We hope this discussion has been helpful as you assess current developments and proposed changes to the bid protest process. You can find the materials referenced today on www.kroll.com at the same link where you access this podcast. We will also add additional links to related content and analysis of the issues discussed. Finally, feel free to call or email if you'd like to discuss any of these topics or if you have any suggestions for future podcast episodes. Our goal is to make this podcast as accessible and effective as possible for you, our listeners. That said, that's a wrap on the inaugural All Things Protest podcast. Until next time, thanks for listening.
The All Things Protest podcast is brought to you by Kroll & Mooring LLP. You can find more information, including how to contact the hosts of this podcast, at kroll.com/podcasts.